The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. Welcome to Adventures in Recovery. I'm Tom Walston, your host for the next half hour. I'm truly looking forward to spending 30 minutes with you each and every Tuesday at 1:30 on The Voice of Vashon, while we explore the many ways which we can recover and move towards having a happier life. My background includes working for the past 15 years or so as a substance use disorder professional and most recently clinical supervisor at Vashon Youth and Family Services, which I've been with over 5 years. And we've got a lot of committed therapists and clinicians there that are truly passionate about their work. Vashon Youth and Family Services was founded back in 1977, and we offer a thriving community of emotionally healthy and resilient children, youth, adults, and families. And we serve Vashon's most vulnerable populations and communities, particularly those who face systemic barriers to accessing services and or belong to groups historically excluded from resources, recovery, and power. Services and programs we offer include infant mental health, child, youth, and family counseling, seniors counseling, Hispanic and Latinx support services, case management, substance use disorder assessment and treatment, homeless prevention, medical and ferry vouchers, and emergency financial assistance. So I really appreciate all of you tuning in today to Adventures in Recovery, because when we talk about recovery, we're not just talking about substance issues. You know, it's not just alcohol. It's not just drugs. It could be maybe we're recovering from maybe abuse. Or it could be grief and loss. Because recovery is really about changes through which individuals improve their health and wellness and live a self-directed life and strive to reach their full potential. So I personally am a person in long-term recovery from years of substance abuse. But one's recovery could also be from past emotional and or physical scars as well. It could be grief. How about recovery from a personal injury? Some people are still suffering from PTSD, from a number of things, also including even from COVID. So we've got a lot of different aspects of recovery. And one of the things I love most about this job is interviewing interesting people that play a role in maybe not just their own recovery, but in the recovery of others as well. I'm really privileged and honored today to have a gentleman with us, and he's got some Vashon roots as well. Welcome, Devin Moore.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, Devin. So you've got a few Vashon roots, is that correct?
Yeah, so I started coming over to Vashon like right when I was born. My grandma was there. She worked at Sporty's for a long, long time, and she actually was part owner of it when it was the Islander a long time ago. And so I went to McMurray, and I went to Vashon High School. I ended up getting expelled in 10th grade. I lived over there for a long time. I still consider it like home in my heart, honestly, when I think of somewhere I would like to be. You know, I would love to be over there. It's just, where I work and like the cost of living and stuff like that. But, yeah.
No, I totally get that. So I don't mean to make light of it, but it sounds like you've had a connection with the bar industry since birth with your grandma's connection with Sporties. What did they call it then? The Islander?
Yeah, it was called the Islander. I think it was like late 80s, like into the 90s, maybe. I'm not sure the exact time frame, but somewhere around there, yeah.
Interesting. So you had a few issues in school, got expelled from school. Were you already experimenting with drugs or alcohol at that time?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, on Vashon, it was pretty much the normal, or at least it was normal to me, like the type of people I was around. Like, we started using, you know, marijuana and alcohol at, like, 12 years old in, like, pretty heavy amounts, you know. Ended up going to treatment twice by the time I was 14 years old.
So where would an adolescent go to treatment? I'm just curious.
Let's see. I went to, I think it was called Ryther. And that was in Seattle somewhere. That was a 45-day treatment. And then Excelsior Youth Center in Spokane, I went to for 136 days.
Oh, my goodness. And can you briefly tell us what your experience was with both those agencies?
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, it was a positive experience for sure. You know, I was just really, really young, and I didn't really grasp how serious it was. I just kind of was doing it so I could be able to go. I had to do it to go back, be able to go back to school on Vashon at the time, and so. Yeah, I ended up getting caught drinking at a football game, I think the first time. I got caught stealing alcohol the first time from Thriftway, and then the second time I got caught drinking at a football game.
That'll do it.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, I mean, it is what it is, but I'm pretty sure alcohol and weed are still pretty prevalent at both the high school and the middle school.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was just like, it was normal, you know, for me anyways. Like, at least the people that I was around, you know, there was plenty of people that weren't, that were abstaining, or like, if they were doing it, it wasn't like controlling their existence, you know, but like right when I started smoking weed, like, that's what I wanted to do every day, you know, and it really, like, it dictated, like, a lot of my actions and the people I surrounded myself with, and, yeah, it's definitely, there was definitely some early warning signs, like, right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And you become a product of your environment. Those are the kind of people you want to hang around, because they're doing what you're doing.
Right, and we all, yeah, we just fed off each other, and it was just normal, you know, they were my friends, we were friends, and it was fun, you know, it seemed fun. I think a lot of the fun, though, was just, like, the lack of, like, responsibility and expectation, you know, we just kind of did what we wanted, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's half the fun of growing up, is experimentation. Right. You find out what works, what doesn't work. And God knows I was in the same place. I mean, I remember, well, I kind of hate to admit it nowadays, but I'd go to school on acid. That was not a real, it shows a person's not real serious about their studies. And this was at a private boys' school. So, you know, I've had my day. And then I ended up working in the bars for 20 years. So that just contributed more to my use. So you ended up going to, did you have any sobriety after either of these two treatment episodes?
No, I don't, like, if it, maybe like a week or two. Nothing really stuck, you know. So, I just wanted to, like, do what was required of me so I could go back to school, you know.
Yep. Just so you could get your diploma or graduate or do what you needed to do to and satisfy probably your parents.
Well, no. So I had to move in with my grandma when I was 11 years old, because I grew up in, like, both my parents, you know, were addicted to various things, and I ended up moving in with my grandma when I was 11 because it was pretty bad living with my mom. And so, yeah, like Vashon, like really quickly became like a safety net because of how bad it was with my mom. And I made true like lifelong friends, you know, and over there, and people that I don't, you know, stay in like constant contact with, but like people that definitely have like a special place in my soul and definitely always will, you know. So
yep.
I wanted to do what I could to try and maintain being able to live on Vashon, you know, which ended up not happening anyways, because after moving there, you know, I brought all the trauma that came from my childhood. You know, my grandma, she was in early recovery at the time. And so I wasn't fitting to listen to anybody. You know, I just wanted to do what I was going to do. And she did what she could. But in reality, yeah, I needed to just run my course.
So here we're listening to a person talk about the fact that some of the things that contributed to his use was probably some adverse childhood experiences from the home he came from. And he eventually moves over here to Vashon, which could be considered a safe place with his grandmother, who also happens to be in early recovery at the time. But you end up going away to two separate inpatients. So how old were you when you finally decided, or was there a crossroads that you finally, what some of us refer to as bottoming out?
Yeah, so, yeah, my addiction, like, definitely progressed. So I'll just speed run it. So when I was about 18 years old, you know, I had been out of, like, expelled from school for a couple of years. I was bouncing around, you know, different good friends' houses on Vashon Island and just really, you know, I was blackout drinking a lot, causing a lot of issues on Vashon and other places, and getting into a lot of trouble and like having like big blowouts with my friends and just being like a mooch and like using up resources, you know, from different people. And then something big would happen, and then I'd move on to the next resource and then come up with an explanation as to why it's not my fault and it's, you know, it's everybody against me type deal. And just kept on moving along until I found like the rave and like EDM, you know, dance music type scene, and started doing those kind of drugs like acid, you know, a lot of mushrooms and ecstasy, Molly, all that kind of stuff, you know. And and my addiction kept on following me. So I moved up to Bellingham for a couple of years, ended up going to jail there a couple times, and eventually I ended up moving in with my mother at the time because I didn't have anywhere else to go. And I ended up starting to use harder drugs with her, like meth and crack and that type of stuff. And eventually that led to me moving to downtown Seattle, homeless. And from there, I started doing a lot of meth, smoking it, and then started smoking heroin to come off of it. And then one day I didn't have any heroin to smoke, and then someone offered some that was in a syringe. And that was like 2014, and I stayed in that cycle downtown Seattle, using drugs intravenously for about 7 years, going in and out of jail a lot, stealing every day, just living on the streets, doing what I can to get more and more drugs. And so I pretty much, you know, was skipping off the bottom for a long time. I kept, you know, moving the goalposts, so they say, like, I wouldn't do this or that, but then I would eventually do those things, right? And And pretty much towards the end, the only place further the goalpost had to go was like either death or going to prison. I did a lot of county time, but I didn't quite get to prison. And so, yeah, I guess the last time that I went to jail, I was out breaking into cars in Ballard. I had a bunch of felony warrants. It was January 15th, 2021. So it just I just had 4 years a couple days ago. And, yeah, so it was freezing cold. My mental health was gone. I was malnourished. And I didn't really have much hope left, you know. I was, yeah, I was overdosing a lot because I was going in and out of jail a lot. So I, my tolerance wasn't what it was. And this is right when fentanyl was getting put in heroin. And so, yeah, I'd overdosed like two or three times in a matter of a month, like straight Narcan, waking up, not knowing what was going on. And yeah, so I was out breaking into cars and lo and behold, I was jaywalking, after I just came up on a bunch of stuff and I was going to go sell it so I can get more drugs for the day. And, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning and I jaywalked in front of the only car on the street and it happened to be a police officer and he stopped and ran my name and it wasn't even for, breaking into cars. Like it was just because I had jaywalked and, yeah, he took me to jail that night and, yeah, and I don't know what really changed from there, but I've been given this opportunity many times where I had went to jail and I was in a really good program called the LEAD program at the time. And, yeah, they're pretty much just like resource navigation for people that are having like frequent run-ins with the police, kind of similar to what I'm doing now. And, yeah, so they helped me get into treatment, and from treatment I got into a supportive living situation with Oxford. So I lived in Oxford for about 2 years, and when I first got out of treatment, when I was living in Oxford, I started volunteering for Peer Washington, which is pretty much a place where people from different avenues of recovery. It could be mental health, it could be substance use, it could be grief and loss, all sorts of unique, different kinds of recovery and supportive type of communities. I went there and started volunteering, and I got really attracted to just the vibe of Peer Washington and what they were offering to people. And so I volunteered there for like about a year. And eventually I got a job working at IHOP as my first job. And so I started volunteering at Peer Kent, which is just under the umbrella of Peer Washington, Peer Seattle, and Peer Kent. And so I started volunteering at Peer Kent and eventually I got certified as a peer counselor and I got hired at Peer Kent and started working there for about 9 months. And eventually I got hired for the Recovery Navigator program and I've been there about a year and a half now. And yeah.
Okay.
I moved out to Oxford.
So yeah, folks, I'm going to say, Devin, I'm going to just fill in the blanks a little bit here to get people caught up on a couple of things they might not be familiar with. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that have just joined us, we have a gentleman by the name of Devin Moore sharing his experience, strength, and hope with us about his recovery. And not to mention the fact that he has just celebrated 4 years of complete abstinence. And he mentioned an organization called Oxford Housing. So there's something about when a person gets clean and sober, if they are still living in a toxic environment and they don't really have a strong support network, chances are their recovery chances are not going to be real great. So there was somebody that started an organization called Oxford Housing. In fact, this gentleman, if I'm not mistaken, was a congressman in Washington, D.C. that wanted to get sober, and they ended up turning their home into a place for people in recovery to have a safe place to live. And since then, it has branched out to where it's international now. There are Oxford houses in any major city in the country and in other countries as well. And it's a responsible living environment where you pay rent. The houses are actually really nice because everybody that lives there has a chore, has a responsibility, whether it be mow the lawn, keep the kitchen clean, there's certain things just to make you accountable and responsible. Everybody has to have a job after X number of days. There's certain blackout dates in the very beginning. But these are nice houses, and the rent is not bad at all. They'll even let you stay on the couch until they have a room or a bed available. It has saved countless lives, and it's an international organization now. And Devin was fortunate enough to be able to be a part of it. And it sounds like, according to his story, it played a key role in his own recovery of being able to get off the streets. I mean, it amazes me how the homeless population survives. Every day it's a challenge just to do what you need to do to stay alive, whether it be eat or get your drug or just get a safe place to sleep, especially in Seattle with all the rain all the time. But anyway, so I just wanted to fill in a couple blanks there, Devin. He's originally from Vashon, so to speak. And the organization, so he's gone full circle. Years of IV drug use. And here's the deal. He mentioned the fact that he has OD'd and Narcan has brought him back to life more than once. When you're in jail for a day or two or three or four or five, you're going to be going through your own withdrawal. So when you get out, unfortunately, the first thing you want to do is go use. Well, your tolerance has already gone down. So you're going to go out and do the same amount that you were doing before you got locked up. Well, that can be enough to kill you. And as Devin says, he's OD'd more than once. And Narcan is administered nasally. And for those of you on Vashon here, if you ever need Narcan kits, and it's a good idea to keep one or two in your glove compartment in your car, because if you see somebody OD'ing, you have the opportunity to save their life. And the way you do that is you go up, tap them, say, hey, I'm giving you some Narcan. You stick it up their nose, push the plunger, and that will immediately revive them. They might be a little ticked off at first because you're ruining their high, which sounds kind of crazy, but it's the way it is. And they immediately have somebody else call 911, and you don't have to tell them that somebody is overdosing on drugs, because they then might involve the police department as well. Just say you need an ambulance because somebody is unresponsive. That's all you have to say. Because for a number of reasons, there's a trust factor and this and that. But in any event, anybody that wants to come in, Vashon Youth and Family Services, I have Narcan kits and fentanyl test strips available for free for anybody that wants to stop in the office and pick those up. They don't have to talk to me, Tom Walston. They can just talk to our front desk coordinator, and we have them readily available for anybody that wants them. Okay, so Devin, now we're at the point where you've just celebrated 4 years. Congratulations, my friend. And you've worked hard for it, buddy. You've done your service work, and the organization you're with now, he's out saving lives through Recovery Alliance. Is that correct?
It's through Pier Washington.
Pier Washington.
We're under Pier Washington as well, the Recovery Navigator program, yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about that. And by the way, where Devin works is part of King County, correct?
Well, yeah, I think we're funded through King County, but we are Pier Washington is a nonprofit organization as a whole.
Okay, and what I'm getting at is there a certain representative that would handle Vashon, since Vashon Island is King County? I mean, we are a rural, remote area, but I want to make sure we have coverage too in case anybody's in the need.
Yeah, so I just want to be careful with exactly what I say, you know, because just as far as like representing, you know, Recovery Navigator program. But I can give you like the knowledge, you know, that I have from working there. So I'm pretty sure that we do accept referrals from Vashon Island, but the thing is it has to be from the police department.
Okay.
Because we are like a diversion type program, and so let's say someone's having like a frequent run-in with the police for whatever reason, and that person like expresses that they might want some help, then at that point the Vashon Police Department would be able to make a referral to us.
Okay, and thanks for being kind of I know there's only so much you can say because for a number of reasons, but if anybody has any questions about that, I'm usually available at Vashon Youth and Family Services. Once again, my name is Tom Walston, and I can refer people over to the appropriate agency. And, you know, we have the resources to get people help. So don't think it's a dead-end road. You know, just because you may or may not do your treatment through Vashon Youth and Family Services, I do have resources I can refer people out to and get you the help that you need.
Feel free to do that. Like, yeah, we can do some type of conversation, not like live on air, you know, where we...
Right,
could,
right.
Yeah.
No, I totally respect that.
The proper representation would be in place at that point, you know.
Yep. So, and Pier Washington, they've got several locations now. There's a location in Olympia. They're, I believe, in Spokane now, in Renton, correct? Kent, or...
Yeah, so there is Pier Olympia, there's Pier Spokane, there's Pier Kent, there's Pier Seattle. There is not currently a Pier Renton. And then there's the Recovery Navigator program we have in South King County, and then we also have one for like North and East King County.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to wrap it up here, Darren or Devin, but I'll tell you what, I really appreciate, we've been trying to coordinate this for a little while, so your time is really valuable, and it's really opened the eyes up to a lot of our listeners as to the number of resources available. One of the reasons they call it peer is because statistics have shown that peer support is one of the strongest ways for people to stay sober and to stay. You know, we try not to use the word clean that much anymore, but to stay in recovery. Peer support has been one of the most effective ways known out there. So that's why it's been so successful. And if you look them up or Google Peer Seattle, you can certainly call and they will fill you in more with some of their resources or just look at their website as well. So, Devin, I want to take this moment to thank you very much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, because our story is sometimes... is all a lot of us have, but you've taken it that step further and have actually gotten into the field where you're out there working the trenches, saving the lives.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Once again, we had Devin Moore with us today, ladies and gentlemen. If anybody wants any more information about any of the agencies that we spoke about today, feel free to give me a call at Vashon Youth and Family Services. And you can always email me at TacomaTom@live.com. And for today, I'm going to sign off because it is time. But I look forward to being with you again next Tuesday and every Tuesday for Adventures in Recovery on the Voice of Vashon at 1:30 in the afternoon. Thanks, folks. I love you all. Keep doing good.